My first experience with burnout was in my early years as a social worker. I was working as a frontline social worker in quite high stress, high trauma work in child welfare and medical social work. And I really loved the work, but I started to notice the impact the work was having on me, and I was also aware of, colleagues that were really challenged with juggling the high amount of stress that was part of that work. And so when I did my master's of social work degree, I devoted it to looking at the issue of professional burnout. And that term, burnout, it gets used a lot. In particular, it gets used a lot in helping professions, healthcare, places where the core of the work is about caring for others and this continual giving of the self in order to do the work. It's not the only place that burnout can happen. Any of us can burn out. It just happens to be, an area that's been explored as an occupational hazard in careers like that, high touch, high emotion careers. So that was sort of my first introduction to this notion of burnout, was, seeing other people, even looking at some of the emotional exhaustion I would experience in the work that I was doing, and then of course in the learning that followed. And what I discovered was that, even though we might have a really full and busy day and sometimes go home at the end of the day and just say, "Oh, I'm burnt out," and collapse on the couch and wander with the remote control through American Idol and Du Bois and whatever else we might be doing to try to tune out. The truth is that burnout doesn't just happen after one, very exhausting day. It really is the wearing down and wearing out of energy over time. And it's this wearing down that can end up having a whole range of negative effects on our health, including emotionally, physically, psychologically, and spiritually. So it's important to think about it as something that happens slowly over time as a result of being exposed to high levels of stress while at the same time expending a great deal of our energy. So it's important to realize that there's this sense of exhaustion that comes with it. And it can be from demands we put on ourselves, putting high standards on ourselves. The truth is, people who burn out often burn out trying to be the very best they can be. They're really pushing themselves and driven to be successful and to really contribute. And that's why it's very painful when you see someone burn out, because there's that saying that only people who were once on fire and really passionate can actually burn out and have that flame extinguished. So that's a bit about what burnout is, and it can be really helpful to know the difference between, full-blown burnout and just some really stressful times. It really does begin to erode us right to the core.
So, can you talk a little bit about what you see being the three main causes of burnout?
Yeah, I'll start by saying it's very difficult to, put it in a category and say it's, these are the three causes, these are the three ways to fix it. Because like most complex things, complex problems tend to have complex or a multitude of solutions. So that being said, I really believe that awareness is prevention, and the more we can know about what causes something and how to come about turning it around, which is completely possible with burnout, it can be healed. People who are burnt out can, once again reclaim their energy and their joy and their vibrancy by, doing some things that we'll talk about. That being said, some of the common things that can cause burnout is complete overload. So work overload, life overload, unrelenting stressors, really pushing ourselves to the limit. Most people, when they're experiencing the beginning signs of burnout, even if they don't know what's happening, how they'll go about trying to fix it is just dig in even more.
Mm-hmm.
Just work harder. Most people who are burning out somewhere along the line say, if I could just do more, if I could just do better. And they go into that driven place. Whereas someone who might be suffering from depression, which, you know, sometimes these two can get mixed up together because they have similar symptoms, is more likely to, you know, withdraw, retreat, you know, really minimize their functioning. They're not likely to kick into that overdrive the way someone who's experiencing burnout might do somewhere along the way. So just that complete overload and lack of really having a discerning way to look at, is what I'm doing realistic? Is it manageable? Is it doable? Lots of us try to do the impossible and then really get surprised and upset when we haven't been able to accomplish it. So there's that piece of it. Another is this doing it alone, doing it all very well, being a perfectionist. So this land of lack of support, I call it, where we have high expectations of ourselves and we expect that we can do it without any help or support, whether that's from, you know, family members, our friends, our colleagues, the world at large. There's this sort of, I can do this, I can manage this, and also a looking out into the world thinking, I can do this because everybody else is. Everybody else is successfully juggling their career and their children and their marriages and their finances. And so there can be a feeling that I must do it too.
Yeah, it's a mom thing, right?
Yeah, and people get quite isolated.
Mm-hmm.
So that isolation and doing it all and doing it alone, combined with that overload and unrealistic expectations, can really be fertile, you know, soil for burnout to emerge. And the other is that, you know, this is a cause and a symptom, but there's often the role of denial when it comes to burnout, that this can't be happening to me. I'm very competent, because burnout happens to very competent, ambitious, hardworking, well-intentioned, caring people. And so because they're the people that are vulnerable to it, there's this mechanism of denial that says, well, this can't possibly be happening to me. And so people inadvertently, as a result, don't recognize that burnout is, in fact, what's happening.